With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable, talk about some weird stuff, and just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
You know, we were sitting here before we cracked the mics, and we're trying to figure out the exact year of where we were on the timeline.
Yeah.
But we had gotten to the point where I was doing midnight to 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. The old graveyard shift.
Yep.
Here or there, wherever you are, at 93.3 The Planet. And 9, you were intern James at the time.
Yeah, and we were eating sausage pizzas and cannolis.
Yes.
Every Saturday night.
I think the best point to pick it up would be where there was a changeover in management.
That would seem like a good spot, yeah.
They brought in Mark Hendricks,
yeah,
our program director,
yeah,
all the other various titles that he has now.
A guy who somehow looks younger now than he did in 2001 or whenever.
Money will do that.
It will.
It really will. And I think one thing that I did mention in the previous episode, but there was the, in radio, you definitely know your hierarchy,
mm-hmm,
as far as things go. Some managers, when you can look at the email and tell the order. As it, where they put the names on the email, like they're sitting here and they're thinking of names and they're putting them in.
Okay.
Other times when there's one-on-one meetings, just from what I've seen, they'll bring in the people maybe they care more about. And if I've went before you, Jimmy, they probably switch. you and I are about the same level when that goes. But Mark Hendricks, when he came to 93.3 The Planet in one of our grandfather's station, Rock 101,
mm-hmm,
he was doing the one-on-ones where he wanted to get to know you and meet you and find out where you wanted to be. So I was, I think, the absolute last person he met with.
Yeah.
And he said, what do you want to do in radio? And I said, I want to do a morning show. And he kind of snickered and did the big eye thing.
Yeah, okay,
whatever.
Yeah. Fat chance.
So that was not the time for me to go host a morning show.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you having the goal to do what you have now done for the past 18 years was laughable.
You. Both of them are laughable, actually.
Ew.
Well, I just, I had fun with what I did, man. Like, from the midnight to 6 a.m. thing, like, I would do bits and stuff. I didn't just play songs. I would take...
You knew you had an audience of usually inebriated people you could have fun with.
Yeah.
Who would play with you.
It was a good time. There was a change up in morning shows at the 93.3 The Planet,
mm-hmm,
and I was sitting there hoping, I'm like, I'm going to get the call. I want to do a morning show.
I just told him, and look, I just showed that I got big old balls, and he's going to hook me up.
I didn't physically, but he kind of felt the attitude.
Yeah, I mean, just saying that from your position was ballsy.
So there was a previous morning show, and one of the, after a parting of ways, there was a lady named Sue that was on the morning show.
Yeah, there was.
And I'm thinking, oh, I'm gonna co-host with her.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do the morning show. They brought in Skip,
yep,
who had previously been at one of the sister stations.
Mm-hmm.
And he came on, and it was Skip and Sue.
Yeah.
And I really don't remember being invited. I think I invited myself. I said, y'all need somebody to run around for you, kick around, answer phones.
They'll do some stunts.
Well, I never really used that word. It's a bit.
Well, you did some cunning stunts.
That was just for bachelorette parties.
Yeah.
No, the first firecracker bit and all that stuff. But I was the kick around, you know. And I still, at this time, when I was doing the Midnight Six, I was also still working as a delivery man for Index Paper, a printing company.
Yeah.
So I would come to the old radio station. I would get up way early. I would leave the house. I would go, and for like 2 hours, I would be the kick around guy.
Yeah.
The whatever.
That show was only, 3 hours long or three and a half?
5:30 to 9.
Yeah, or 5:30 to 9, the weird schedule.
What an odd thing. Yeah, 5:30 to 9.
Well, guys, we got to get back into music because people want to hear Kenny Wayne Shepherd over and over
Non-stop.
And over again for 20 years.
So I would go in for no pay. I would go in and volunteer 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And then I would leave there at 9 a.m. to go to my job. They were nice enough to do that for me, looking back. Like, I had to be there at 8.
Yeah.
And they would let me come in an hour late and you know, work an hour late just to appease the fact that I wanted to go work 2 hours for free.
Yep.
And, I had that want. I had the desire, the thirst, whatever you want, the hunger, whatever. And so we kind of mixed that up for a little bit. And I don't remember exactly the bit that I somehow... See, I'm the kick-around guy.
Yeah, you are.
And then I somehow, I don't know what it was, the finagling that I was able to do to get you also on there in a sense, Jim.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how that happened. My memory is a little fuzzy.
Do you remember the first bit you ever did on the radio like that?
Man, I don't have any idea. I remember it was at Fall for Greenville, the big street festival downtown. In 2002, at Fall for Greenville is when I got the name 9.
Yes.
And Sue was a big part of that.
I had recently shaved my head bald for a bit.
Yeah, she pretty much unintentionally gave me the name in a sense. Because I was, remember I had on the, I'll get into that one real quick.
That's a great story.
Man, I used to buy a lot of bobblehead dolls on eBay, like football, baseball player bobbleheads back when I was 17, 18.
We'd go buy them at Manifest Discs and Tapes too.
Yeah. So one of them I bought was a Michael Vick bobblehead when he was a rookie with the Falcons that year.
Pre-dogfighting.
Yeah, pre-dogfighting. And for some reason, the bobblehead, now I bought a bobblehead doll for like, $15 or so. It came with a free jersey, which at that point was a replica of the screen print numbers, not the sewn ones, but still it was a free jersey, like a size 4 or 5XL, because that was huge at that point.
Right.
So
you'd be losing money if you didn't buy it.
So I was wearing that jersey, the black Falcons jersey with the 7 on it, and they were at Fall for Greenville, talking about me continuing to do stuff at the station and on the morning show. And
for no pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Same here.
For no pay, obviously. That's how it was back then. But and Sue said, Director, we should call you 7. And I
she
said,
had a hard time remembering names.
Yeah. And I said,
where she was.
And there was an Eddie Murphy movie at the time called I Spy. And it was a remake.
Steve Martin?
No, Eddie Murphy. Old remake of a movie. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who else was in it.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I never saw the damn movie, dude.
Huh.
Yeah. But, in the trailers for the movie, I'd see the previews on TV, and some lady goes, you're like 007. Eddie Murphy goes, more like 009.5. So I hit her with the same exact joke, and then my name became 9.5 and eventually 9 from that.
Wow.
Yep.
See, that is all these years, I've remembered it as, it was something about a perfect 10. And you said not quite, more like a 9.5.
Yeah.
But obviously, you remember it way better than I do.
See, I do remember that story. I do remember that moment at Fall for Greenville 02. But yeah, I mean, you probably thought it was because of the 9 inches, but that's not unrelated. That's just coincidence.
Yeah, well, you do have a thick ankle. Oh, Lord God.
Yeah.
That's about the time it was. And so there we are with no pay. I'm a married guy at this point.
Yeah.
I'm getting up. I'm also going in, volunteering my talents or whatever.
Yep.
So things happen, another parting of ways. And Sue was, there was a parting of ways there.
Yeah.
So.
We said goodbye to Sue at that point.
Yes. And.
Right at the end of 2002.
I will never forget. I got a phone call from Mark Hendricks and He asked me to come by the radio station if I had a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I was a delivery guy.
Yeah.
I went right then.
Yeah, you went right by.
You're a delivery guy. You all know.
I'm on the road. I'll say I got held up. What's up?
Yeah.
I need to talk about it. This seems important.
So I went right over there, and he told me, he's like, you know, we'd like to offer you an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Where do I sign? I didn't ask a question.
Yeah.
I didn't ask anything.
Like,
I didn't
offer you an opportunity is what you wanted.
I didn't ask the pay. I didn't ask, am I part-time, full-time, just an opportunity. And I was like, what's the opportunity? He's like, co-host the morning show.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God.
And you know what is funny about this part of the story to me that I never really thought about before?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
The company that owned this radio station that we work for now, the company that owned that station at that point, different
mm-hmm.
company,
mm-hmm.
had they not been cheapskates, the Rise Guys never would have happened because they would have hired somebody else who probably would have commanded more money. You know, like somebody with more of a history, more of a resume. Right? I mean, this show exists because they were cheapskates. That's what started all this.
I would agree to that for this reason, is when there was a... So, you know, I said, yes, of course I'll take the job.
Yeah.
And put in my 2-week notice or whatever. And then there was a meeting between Mark,
mm-hmm.
the then general manager,
yeah.
and also Skip and me.
Yeah.
And as we were sitting there conversing about the show and whatnot, the GM looked at me and says, now, Matt, of course, you're going to be a junior member of the show.
Yeah.
Now, Mark, who's in the same room, told me I'm going to be the co-host of the show, but then... I'm already put at the kids' table, and the adults are over here talking.
Yeah.
He said, I'm a junior member of the show, dude. I'm in, like, mid-20s. I'm married. I have a mortgage. I have 2 car payments.
You got a baby on the way? You got a baby on the way in, like, a month?
I have a baby on the way.
Yeah.
Well, you're a junior member of the show. Yeah. So it's like I got put in my place there at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, was part of that because I went from midnight to 6 a.m. to mornings? Because normally you have to chip your way away to get to that point.
Yeah, I mean, But it might be. Again, though, I still think the main reason the opportunity was made available is probably, and thinking back about it, is probably because the old general manager had that like $60,000 vehicle on the company dime. So he wanted a car, and that meant they had less budget to hire a morning show co-host. And there we are.
I won't tell you the exact number out of sheer embarrassment. But
even
it was even
in O2 money.
It was a $7,000 a year raise.
Yeah.
I was the delivery guy for a paper company.
Yeah.
It was the equivalent of driving trucks for Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of was.
Okay, but very similar, yeah.
It was like the southern version of The Office.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, hell yeah, whatever.
I want that, yeah.
So there I am, junior member / co-host of the show. And, you know, I think at that very conversation, that meeting, it was like, okay, well, we need to have someone else on the show, maybe some female perspective that's missing.
Yeah.
So Paige, who was doing nights yep. then, which would have been like the, you know, 7 to midnight,
mm-hmm.
was brought in. Not even a question. I'd met her before. She had kind of actually trained me on the board.
Yeah, you knew her a little bit.
But there wasn't like any chemistry or any like known chemistry.
Yeah.
I think with a show, there should be, you should figure out the chemistry before you throw it together.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out the chemistry without doing something, but at the same time, it's weird to just take some people and put them in a room together and they don't really know each other that well.
But yet, basketball teams, baseball teams, they do that.
Yeah,
they
they're professionals, though.
And we have, obviously, because, you know, all these years later, here she is.
Yeah, all these years later. We couldn't get rid of her if we tried.
But we needed somebody to answer phones. We needed a producer of the show.
Yeah.
And I said, I know a guy.
I know a guy, and he's free. I mean, he works for free.
Listen, man. Back to the cheap company.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we need another. Somebody can answer phones.
Yeah.
We don't have a budget, though.
We don't have a budget.
So, but just like me, did you have passion for Radio 9, or was it you were bored staying at home? Like, what was that? Because you were going... I did it out of passion. I
yeah.
wanted to be in radio,
yeah.
but I don't know. What was your desire at that point?
I was about to turn 18. I was at that point, I was living with my great aunt. Because that was, after, yeah, shortly
she
after.
She was wonderful.
Yeah, she was great, great. She was wonderful, great aunt.
She was really great.
I was living with Aunt Fanny, as we called her. Mm-hmm. And I just knew I needed to do something. You know, I'm living with this woman who's real the best woman I ever knew in my life. She's in her 80s at this point. And I have to do something with my life. I don't really want to go to college. I'm about to turn 18 here, and then I had an opportunity to go do something that seemed like fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, especially for a really introverted fat kid. because that's what I was, a really introverted fat kid who never really got to do a whole lot in life.
But
that
you
point.
Were busting out of your shell, though, just like you remarked about you know, the quick wit you were with. I'm not 007, I'm more like 009.5.
Yeah, I was coming along. You're at this coming point. Along. And when I look back on it, I was coming along a little faster than I realized at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it still took a while.
Is that some foreshadowing right there you just did?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, so there we go. It's Skip. It's okay. Now here's another part that I greatly have major issues with.
Okay,
it's worked out, but I had major issues with. Okay. Skip's name was Skip Church.
Yeah.
I am, at this point, I kind of went away from the wrestling Matt thing. I was just Matt Harris.
Yep.
And you know the story why I stuck with that name.
Yeah.
Because I wanted people that listened, because I'm from here, Greenville, South Carolina. I wanted people to know, oh, God, I went to high school with him. Oh, that's that guy I never would talk to.
Yeah.
I wanted people to know that.
Yeah, probably not the healthiest of motivations, but
not
a motivation.
At all. Not at all. It's yeah. not like, oh, I'm going to be a dad soon and all this stuff. Yeah. You know, I'm going to have a career. But
no, this is to stick it to a woman who wouldn't have sex with me 12 years ago in high school.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So Mark Hendricks said, Skip's got a great name and you're just Matt Harris. Let's come up with a nickname. Do you have any nicknames?
Oh, Lord.
I did.
He didn't tell him that, though.
Well, I did not tell him
the
that.
The Rise Guys with Jelly wouldn't have gone far.
Mm-mm. No, that was what one of my old football coaches called me, because of my belly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, football practice and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't tell him that. And he's like, well, you know, I'll think of some stuff. I was wanting to, like, hold on to Matt Harris.
Yeah, you were.
And
yeah, you were. I keep talking like Louis Armstrong.
Oh, I was going to say Fat Albert.
hey.
So he said, well, you know, we'll think of some stuff. So I remember I was leaving I was leaving my house and he called me. He's like, got some names wanted to run by you. I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say without a shadow of a doubt that he actually threw up one of the options as Fat Matt. I promise I think that.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Matzo.
Well, so I think that it was Fat Matt, but I would have instantly been against that, and so would my mother. Yeah. She called me Matthew because she didn't want people to call me Fat Matt.
Oh, then what about Fathew? You want to be Fathew?
So, yeah, he said Matzo because it, you know, like Fatso.
Yeah, but Matzo.
Mark's a bully.
He's
now
a damn bully.
He
yeah,
bullies
he's,
fat
he's
people.
A damn bully.
So, anyway, Matt Man.
Yeah.
He threw that at me. There's no story behind it. I like Batman. That's my favorite superhero. I was really into it in 89. Me and my buddy Jason, he dressed up like the Joker. I dressed up as Batman. We went to the premiere at the Bijou.
Yeah.
I was really into it.
Yeah, it was your thing.
But nobody had ever called me that ever.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I want this. Yes, call me whatever at this point.
Whatever you like, please.
So I became Mattman.
Mattman.
Yes. Yeah, so look at that. Both origin stories of our names in the same seg.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, a lot of people are disappointed to find out I wasn't born and named 9 as a baby.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That's my son. He's 9.
He looks like a baby.
Yeah. So we began doing a show, and I believe 9 morning shows at the time, or at least radio stations that were monitored as far as ratings go.
Yeah.
Our first book, we were 8.
Yeah, 8 that, which was an improvement, though.
they were a solid 9 prior to that, for real.
Yeah, if they even showed up. So it was interesting. But I want to get to when the show started. I want to get to the very first episode of The Rise Guys.
You remember the quote, I'm getting beat by stations I've never blanked heard of.
Yeah, that was another guy from another station. But remember the very, Matt, do you remember the very first Rise Guys show ever in January of 2003?
No, I do not.
You don't. You don't. You know why he does? Because he wasn't there.
What a great little tidbit of Rise Guys history. I was not on episode 1.
Yeah.
In season 1.
Yeah. Episode 1, season 1 was me and Paige and Skip, and Matt was, he didn't make it.
Well, see, that's the other thing. They didn't want it. We were not the Rise Guys at this point. It was, this is that other thing that was weird.
Yeah.
I don't like when people...
What?
Regis and Kelly. They both went by their same name.
Yeah, live with Regis and Kelly.
Regis and Kelly. Yeah. It was never live with Philbin and Kelly.
Yeah.
Never live with Regis and Gifford or whatever.
Regis and Ripa?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But again, Mark wanted it to be Church and Mattman.
Yeah.
I thought it sounded like cross points you'd pick up an Uber at.
Was it at first church and the Mat Man? Mm-mm. Church and the Mat Man.
I don't remember.
I thought
that.
It was. I thought I remember. I'm pretty sure there was some imaging. You know, by the way, if you don't know imaging, you think pictures. Imaging in radio terms is, you know, when you listen to a rock radio station and between songs or between commercials when they're going back into a song or the top of the hour, you hear like a bunch of car crashes and electronic equipment losing power and motors winding down and metal clanging against metal. And then voice guy says, you're listening to the planet. Yeah. Yeah, that stuff is imaging.
Yeah, that's imaging.
That's imaging. But yeah, I'm pretty sure
maybe
was
it did.
Imaging said church and the Mat Man.
Yeah, maybe they did. I didn't like it, but again, I was like, at this point, whatever, man, yeah. Whatever. And but you would come in every day.
Yeah, I did. I came in as many days as I could. And by the time the Rise Guys show started, I was in just about every day.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think we did the show for about a month before the Rise Guys name was even picked up, picked out. And again, that was a Mark doing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that was about. But back to the week prior to the debut show of, the brand new morning show, Mark had us out doing appearances.
Yeah.
The night before, we'd been out, going out doing appearances the whole week, and a lot of those involved drinking.
Mm-hmm.
The night before, we're at Hooters, and I was sick when I got there.
Yeah, it's not like you went there and you ate something that didn't agree with you. You drank too much. You were sick when you showed up.
First and only time I've ever projectile vomited in my life.
In the parking lot.
Yeah. So I had to call Mark Hendricks, the boss, the guy that has given me my big shot, and says, day one, I'm having to call in sick.
Yeah.
Now, just get back that up, obviously. He saw me throwing up everywhere.
Yeah.
So I was not there. I mean, what was that like? I've never, obviously we don't have the tapes, but what was that like for you?
I don't remember it at all.
Not
all
a single
I remember thing. About it is that you were sick and you didn't make it to the first show. I don't remember a single moment of it whatsoever.
We would start at 5:30, as we pointed out, but we would get to the radio station at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Because we had to prepare. Like, we had to know.
We had no idea what we were doing.
Nobody.
No clue in the world.
And nobody was really listening, really. Like, we would not get phone calls. We would have to beg for phone calls.
Yeah, and that was the good thing, is that you can go in and kind of learn how to do radio like that without an audience to judge you.
Not a lot of ears and eyes on you.
Yeah.
So we were kind of just figuring it out. I mean, we were doing such basic stuff as we would do an entire segment of tell you what movies are coming out today on DVD.
Yeah, and all the things we did that we couldn't possibly get away with early on in the show, things we did that we couldn't possibly do now.
Majority of.
Yeah, like the raw egg thing.
That's the one that comes to
mind. That's the first one that comes to my mind, is like a scar belly eating, just guzzling shot glass after shot glass of raw eggs.
Raw eggs. Yeah. It was for WWE Raw tickets.
Yeah, you want some wrestling tickets? Come in here and eat several dozen raw eggs. Here you go.
We had shot glasses full of raw eggs, and they were raw.
Yeah. And you know what sucked about back then is that, if we needed eggs or something, we'd go buy eggs.
Oh, yeah.
We'd go buy several dozen eggs and just pay for them, and then we eventually quit doing bits like that because we got tired of spending our own money.
All the poster boards where we'd make game boards and all these different things.
We had to buy all that and all the markers too. There wasn't anything coming back.
Boy, that's great. That's something I never thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're just meandering. We're trying to figure it all out. And then, we kind of got some grassroots effort behind us. I don't know if it's people felt sorry for us, because we would literally beg. Like, I remember a bit that I came up with is like, we're not going to say another word on the radio till the phone rings.
Yeah.
And we would sit there in complete silence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We would dead air it.
Yep.
And people would say, oh, my God, I got to call in. It was that bad.
Got to call in, yeah. I think it was, just you slowly build it because you are relating to people who are listening.
Big time.
And at that point, we had somewhat of an audience because we played, six or eight songs an hour. So the people who liked the rock music would tune in.
That's another great point, man.
Yeah.
We would play 6 to 8 songs per hour, whereas now we play 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, we learned a lot about doing radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Think about how long 5 minutes of a segment used to feel like in 2003 versus now.
Oh, very much so.
5 minutes, that isn't time to do anything.
And if you think the immaturity level is bad now, Paige would have to go into another studio and pre-record her headlines.
Yeah.
Because when she would say a word wrong, or mispronounce something, we would hysterically laugh and not quit laughing, and she would get so irritated, and it would just hit a standstill, much like today.
Yeah.
But she would pre-tape this because it was so bad. Well, not her, but maybe our reaction, or maybe a mix of both.
And at that point, it was different, too, because she would be doing things like reporting on the war in Iraq.
It was hard news,
and,
as we said.
And we'd be over there laughing because, you know, she said something wrong.
Yeah.
And we're just... you know, dicks, but yeah. But you know, what kind of news stories did we do this morning? It was all frivolous stuff about, you know, Batman and 12-foot tall skeleton Halloween decorations. Yeah. That are really popular.
Yeah, now, yeah, it's stuff like that.
It's fun stuff.
We needed like stuff that that's the thing. We would not even comment during headlines. She would deliver news.
Yeah, just
with no reaction.
News. Yeah,
because it was, and this is one thing I'll say this freely right now. During headlines even of today's standard, 2020, mm-hmm. when Paige is delivering the news and, you know, we comment and stuff, if there's a joke made by one of us,
yeah.
or maybe, look, I say words wrong all the time.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
But if you kind of snicker with Paige, or, you know, she thinks that you're making fun of her, she'll completely stop talking, and it's a real... real kind of weird thing.
It is.
Like it's not. I think the problem is that we call it headlines or news. That makes it too hard in her mind, maybe.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there.
It's more just like she's throwing up topics and we're commenting on them.
That's why you have to think of the full name. Is we call it Rise Guys Headlines. This is not headlines. This is Rise Guys Headlines.
Yeah. So we would laugh all through that. So finally, you know, it was realized by management that, all right, some people are listening now. I think we moved up to about seventh place at that point.
Yeah. Had a little momentum going. People seemed to be on the uptick a little bit.
We started having appearances. Now, here's a question to help me get on the timeline again, Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you produce for the Rise Guys Morning Show before you officially were hired on?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question there.
Is that around the truckload of summer fun?
No, we got to get to that though, but I want to backtrack because
yes.
You told me about something that you said you wanted to talk about on this podcast, and if we go any further, we're going to be too far removed from it.
Oh, tell me then.
You said you wanted to talk about my 18th birthday, which was 1 month before the Rise Guys Morning Show started.
That's a perfect spot.
But you
right
said
there.
You wanted to hit that, so we'll hit that real quick. This is all right around the same time. This would have been December 10th, 2002.
It was the first and only time I'd ever been in a strip club with my father.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
And I hope my mom's not listening to this.
It was weird because I saw him at that same one a couple different times.
I wasn't there. It was Nine's birthday. And, you know, I don't know how much you want to say here. Maybe you'd like to pick it up from your perspective. I don't know how far you want to reveal, how much you want to reveal here.
Well, I mean, you know.
You want to fully reveal?
No, keep it within the bounds of decency.
Well, pick it up.
Somewhat
decent. I don't have a high level of that.
You're the one who wanted to talk about it, so let's go.
Well, okay. You know, here's what it is. We talked about on the radio that we were going to take you out for your 18th birthday party.
Yeah.
And so we had a slew of what we didn't call P1s maybe yet at the time. I don't think. Well, I'm pretty sure we didn't.
No, we didn't have them. This was December, so yeah, that wasn't around yet at
Rise
all.
Rise Guys listeners.
Whatever. That didn't come around until about 2004.
That's a very good, yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So anyway, they rolled out the red carpet for us. We had all kinds of people there. It was.
I didn't know they had steaks at strip clubs.
They
like to eat.
They had steaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good one, too.
So several of us threw in some money, unbeknownst to Jimmy Jack Jackie
mm-hmm.
and a young lady that worked there, took him by the hand and led him upstairs.
And she wasn't that young.
Well, look, I'm looking at it from my age now.
I wonder what she's up to now. I haven't seen her since that night.
What was her name?
I have no idea.
Diamond, Destiny?
All I remember is that she was blonde.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So she led you upstairs, and this was where the lap dances or some of the more provocative VIP dances would happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It was a special night.
She used her mouth on him.
That's what the rumor was.
Is that not what happened?
That's what the rumor was.
Yeah.
That's the rumor.
He's winking at me right now, y'all.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
I can
just remember. I knew what was happening, and I remember watching you come down those steps. You were a changed man.
It was an awkward walk down the steps with a bunch of waiting, prying eyes, a bunch of nosy grown men looking at me. I wasn't naked enough. I'm just looking at my fat, young, manly self walking down the steps.
He was covered in sweat.
Yeah.
And that was just from walking down the steps.
It was. I was covered in sweat before I went up there.
I just remembered thinking, like, how awesome that was, but how poignant in that night. And I mentioned my father is when he was leaving that night.
Yeah.
He shook my hand, and when I took my hand back, there was a $100 bill in there. I was like, Daddy, it ain't my birthday. He's like, you're about to become a father in a month.
Yeah.
And man, that was like, but don't hand it to me in a strip club.
Yeah, don't hand it to me here.
Don't hand me the money in this life lesson in a strip club, Dad.
Well, the weird thing is it wasn't a $100 bill. It was $52 bills.
Yeah, luckily I was able to pay my tax. but yeah, that was a great memory. So, you know, we're 2004, we'll pick it up there. Trying to make our way. We're getting a nice little following somehow because I think part of it was people felt sorry for us, but also we were just different than anything that was going on in the surrounding areas on the radio.
Yep. And one thing that I think really did kind of help us was in that 6 months after the show started, we did have the truckload of summer fun, which gave us stuff to talk about and places to be and things to do. And we're giving away like a truck and a four-wheeler and kayaks and all kind of stuff that dudes wanted.
Yeah, and of course, when you had a giveaway this grand prize, you want to have it around at various appearances that they could sell, the radio station could sell for people to come see it and register and all this.
Yeah.
They needed somebody to drive that truck load of summer fun out to appearances.
Yeah, so that's what the first time I made money in radio was being the driver of that black Chevy S10 with a four-wheeler and kayaks.
They would hide it in the old security building there at McAllister Square.
I don't know what that building was. It was like an old groundskeeping kind of shed. I'd have to go open these huge, heavy wooden doors that were, they're supposed, you know, they're like sliding doors,
uh-huh.
Like airplane hangar door kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the ones that slide out to the sides. Well, these are all really broke and rusted, and you just kind of have to pick the damn thing up and move it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd lock it up in there every night.
What was that phone call? Was it a phone call or an email or an in-face, person-to-person conversation?
It was person-to-person, shockingly enough.
And what was that question?
Oh, about the payment. I knew where you're going with it.
Wait, was it a per appearance, per hour, per mile of driving the truckload of summer fun?
Well, the truckload of summer fun promotion was, we got the vehicle from a Chevy dealership, the four-wheeler from a four-wheeler place. I remember the one. It's Foothills. They gave us the kayaks from Sunriff, mm-hmm. and then we had some other sponsors. Like most of the appearances to register to win this took place at Hardee's.
Yeah.
There was also a soft drink company involved in this.
Yeah, didn't you win like a summer's worth of
the soft drink?
Of the soft drink.
Yeah,
are we not going to mention?
I'm not going to say the soft drink because they're the ones that I took issue with.
And I'm a big fan of them though.
Yeah, so somewhere between the company we worked for at that time, I love their soft drinks.
I like the diet version.
I have a bunch of the diet ones at my house.
Really,
right now.
Really good.
Wish I could find the diet with cream soda, but whatever. Anyway, they wanted to pay me in product from this soft drink company, and I'm talking about $1,600 to $1,800 worth of product at cost.
Let's just say colas.
Yeah.
Six packs of colas.
Yeah, yeah. Or 12 packs, I give it.
Or cases, maybe.
So, I mean, I had to go to the boss and just like,
stand up for yourself.
I had to.
Yes.
Because, like, I'm not making any money. If you give me $1,600 worth of Dr. Pepper, I'm going to have to rent a truck to take my payment home, and I can't rent the truck to take my payment home.
Wasn't it pointed out, didn't we measure it out or figure out the formula, you probably did, that you would need an entire bedroom to house all the product of beverages?
It would have been so, so much softer.
I mean, but that's balls, though. It's the same.
Balls of them to try to do that to somebody.
Well, balls of both of you. Who had the bigger ones?
Them for proposing it in the first damn place.
You did because you stood up.
I don't think that company exists anymore. I understand why now.
Wow. Are they not?
I don't think so.
Well,
I don't think they do anything.
You said no. So was that? So that was? Is that what brought you into the payroll system? That saying no, I don't want a bedroom full of cola.
Yeah, that's what got me on the payroll at first. Was that getting paid part time to do that gig? Yeah.
How long would that have lasted you? A bedroom full of cola six packs.
At that point, not that long.
Yeah. So you came on. That was an hourly wage, part time. They probably paid you for 20 hours a week, maybe.
Yeah. What I just got paid whatever I did.
Just by the hour.
At that point, I still wasn't getting paid for doing the radio show in the morning. I was only getting paid for extra stuff outside of that.
I did. Well, I mean, I probably knew that and forgot. But like, when did you become? Did it take the changing of guard for that to happen?
No. I was the producer. I remember my starting salary as a full-time employee and producer. It was shortly before I moved from Anderson to Greenville.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I moved in Greenville to the place and my mom told the pizza delivery girl I was 9?
Oh, yeah. She thought you were 9 years old.
Just a huge 9-year-old child.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happened shortly before that. And it wasn't until... I didn't get paid until after I had left and come back from the show.
Yeah.
You remember that? I left for a while around fall of 2003 because part of it was I didn't have the money to keep going to work for free.
True.
Like I was running out of money.
Yes. And clearly the company had none to give you.
Yeah.
I had even mentioned giving you gas cards for payment.
Yeah. And there was just like nothing. You know?
I really did.
I mean, the only thing we got was when we stole all those restaurant gift cards.
That was listen.
Look, we needed it. We had to eat or get some kind of payment for working for the damn place.
That entire summer, man.
Yeah.
I ate from that place.
Yeah. We had to do something. You know, we didn't have money to get none to eat. And we were fat. We liked to eat.
Very much so. I had done when I was doing the midnight to 6 a.m. thing, like I said, I would try to have fun. I didn't want to just play songs because most people who do that shift don't give a crap.
Mm-hmm.
People listening are drunk, whatever. I would do things like DUI, dialing under the influence. I'd have drunk people call in. Then I had, the idea for War of the Roses.
Yeah.
And I'd done that a couple times on the midnight at 6 a.m., but to pull the curtain back, I'd pre-recorded them earlier in the day because nobody was going to answer the phone at 3 a.m.
Nobody does. Mm-mm.
So when we started coming up with the ideas for the show, that was one of them that slid right in, and that's kind of what we hung our hat on for a long, long time.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. With little or no pay.
Little or no pay, yeah. Very little to absolutely none.
But... while we're starting to gain momentum with the show and we're gaining a following, and then suddenly this whole P1 family thing started to happen.
Now, that started when I was gone, when I was down in Augusta, Georgia for almost a year. Because I think that one of the things that put me over the edge and helped me usher myself out was that time we did the appearance that I had to hang from the crane on the straps. With all the Velcro balls all over me and people trying to knock them off.
The human pinata.
Does that hurt real bad? And it sucked. And it was embarrassing and demeaning and just a shit idea to do to a human being.
It was.
Yeah, it really was.
It was.
Shortly after that, I left for about a year because I was really pissed off.
I get it.
I'm thinking about it now. I want to go punch Mark in the face.
It was his idea.
He's right next door. I could do it.
Like, I know for a fact it's his idea.
Yeah. No, I know. I hate
that. Mm-hmm. But also, to his point, maybe.
No, it took me a decade to earn any respect from that man.
I'm still working on it. to his point, though, hanging you by the crane, it was laid out to him as though it was not going to be cutting you in half with the strap. I don't think he would have ever known.
No, that. He wouldn't have done that.
Now,
no.
To have an 18-year-old kid.
He's a decent human being.
To have an 18-year-old kid who has major weight issues at the time, to hang him out like that.
Yeah.
That was...
I just didn't have a good setup for it.
It was very demeaning.
Oh, it hurt like some bitch, man. It hurt so damn bad. It hurt so bad,
and God
so
bless
bad,
our promotions director, the Silver Fox, Bob Ross. I remember him sitting there kind of just tapping you on the foot.
Yeah.
Kind of saying, it'll be over. I remember that clearly.
Yeah, and then he's the one who finally, just go and get him down from there.
Yep.
Nobody listens to this show or this station. Nobody's here to participate in this. Just go ahead and get him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, with the P1 thing, the P1 family, this is a little known fact maybe, that when you would join to be a P1, there was no automated thing like there is now.
Yeah.
You would send an email to the riseguys@AOL.com,
yep.
Still have the same email address.
Yeah.
You would send in your name, address, what you want your P1 name to be. I would then copy and paste that into a Word document.
Yeah.
And then save it on diskettes.
Yep.
And before long, it was like 4 disks.
Yeah,
full
it
of
was.
Email addresses and everything.
Yeah.
And I told the person that was over our web services at the time. I was like, I have like 5 disks worth of email addresses. Uh-huh. And they looked at me like, are you serious?
Are you serious?
That many different people email?
You have a database?
They said, well, can you get me those disks?
Yeah.
And I gave them to, and it, I mean, that was like, that was a, I'm not sitting here singing my praise. That was a lot of work.
I remember doing a bunch after I'd left and came back. I remember doing that in the office, putting them in manually. It was a lot of work, very tedious.
That was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But you took a little bit of a sabbatical.
So I took a suppository. Yeah.
You took a sabbatical, moved down to Augusta with your mom, get your head right. I think you're still reeling with the situation with your father, as mentioned on previous episodes.
Yeah. I mean, my dad just shot himself in the summer, end of the summer of 02.
Yeah.
So that really, that's another thing. It hit me really hard about a year later. So that's about the time, late end of summer, beginning of fall, when I left the show for about a year.
And it, as you came back, we were, you know, we had a guy, Flying Brian, who I liked the guy.
Yeah.
He was a fine guy.
I never had an issue with him. Yeah.
I never had an issue with him.
You know, we'd hang out some, have fun.
Yeah.
And then kind of not anymore after.
Forgot my pen.
Yeah.
You came back, we had traction, we had momentum,
mm-hmm.
And just as, you know the old thing, I take 2 steps forwards, I take 2 steps back.
No.
I'm not singing Paula Abdul.
No.
But just as though you take a step forward, there's something that keeps pulling you back, and that was my then co-host.
Oh, yeah, okay.
No, I was not talking about Paige.
Oh.
And Fatboy wasn't here yet.
No, we didn't even know him yet at that point. But yeah, so, I came back in 04. And for a brief time, it was me and Flying Brian, and then he was gone after that. Like in the winter of 04, he was gone.
Yeah, we were like 6 people deep at that point.
Yeah, because he had another intern called Dookie.
We had intern Dookie,
yeah,
who was a great photographer.
He was.
What's up, Kevin, if you're listening?
Yep, and then we get into, yeah, and we can just go from there, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a
lot of history to remember off the top of your head.
Well, I'm an open book about most things that A, I feel comfortable talking about. B, I'm legally at ease to talk about.
Yeah.
But you know, it was with success and a little bit of attention comes just like anything else. You get attention and you get a little bit of notoriety or whatever around town. And
it changes some things.
It changes some stuff.
Yeah.
And your life can start careening out of control.
Yeah, it becomes
literally.
I mean, it becomes too much for a lot of people to handle. And I think that I wouldn't have been able to handle it myself had I not kind of grown up in it. Like if I already had an established family,
mm-hmm.
and I'd been living a life, and then that happened with that level of just momentum and local fame we were starting to get. Yeah, I don't know if I'd have been able to handle that at that point. Luckily, I grew up into it, so it was all right.
Yeah. We were, I think at this point, we moved up to about the fifth or fourth place.
We were getting somewhere,
in
making
ratings.
Progress.
And I don't want to skip past 5 years of history to get to that ultimate changing of...
We shouldn't. I mean, there's plenty of stuff to talk about in those 5 years. Like the time we almost died coming back from Ozfest is a great story, where Matt was bouncing around the back of a radio station van like a pinball. Great story.
That was illegal.
It was.
I had no seatbelt back there.
Well, they sent us 3 people in a van with 2 seats in it. What are we supposed to
do? No brakes. It was a death trap.
Yeah. Yeah. I was driving.
And you hit the brakes, and I went flying.
Yeah. Well, you were sitting on basically a beanbag chair that was loose in the back. It was a 30-foot-tall inflatable gorilla that we'd take to events. And when you broke it down, you put it in this big bag, and it became like a giant love sack-sized beanbag chair.
It really was.
Yeah. And then when I slammed the brakes going 75 on the interstate, Matt was, all of a sudden, I think you were asleep, passed out at the back of the van.
Out, yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're right beside me. Like, I look down, and you're, like, right beside me with your face on the console, man.
I always wanted to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you did that night. You flew about 12 feet through a van.
We had it was like a 30-foot-tall inflatable gorilla. Like,
yeah.
Who decided that the planet mascot would be a big blue gorilla?
I guess we just, some car dealership went out of business and cut us a hell of a deal on one.
Did we sell it to the one in Simpsonville?
Probably, yeah.
God bless.
Or bought it from them one.
Yeah, one of the two. We were gaining momentum.
Yeah.
We were going out and people were paying us to come do appearances and doing what was called big-ass draft nights.
Yeah, man, which, Lord of mercy, those were,
another stupid idea, just in terms of you got the three guys who do the show out till 10, 11, 12 o'clock on a weeknight.
In Asheville.
Yeah, in Asheville till 11 p.m., get back to Greenville at like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then you got to be on the air and hopefully sober by 5:30.
Yeah, and we were still in that mode of getting there trying to 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Not those mornings.
I remember that one morning, I don't know specifically when it was, there was a corner. I was turning all the lights in the building. I saw a figure coming the other direction toward me.
Oh, you got to do the quote.
And it was like a zombie. It had like it was like a zombie kind. I could see a slow moving figure. Yeah. And as I got closer, I realized that it was the man sitting right in front of me. It was Nine, and he says, "I think I'm gonna be sick."
Yeah. Oh yeah, man.
I'm gonna be sick.
I'd been out at the strip club all night long before work, and here I am at work. And what did I do to try to like get myself right to get ready to go? I was really I was still not 21, so I wasn't drinking. I wasn't drunk. I was really tired though, so I drank some coffee and was instant coffee with instant creamer and stuff in it. Oh, I just felt queasy.
But that was you were doing
rough.
What was the Monday Night Football bit that you were doing?
I did Monday Night Football at a strip club for about three seasons in a row, including when. Look, one of those years, Christmas was on a Monday, and my ass was there on Christmas night doing a remote for football at a strip club on Christmas night. And it was the saddest, most depressing place I've ever been in my life.
I can't imagine.
At one point, I stepped out just to get away from the bass and the smoke and everything, just step outside for a minute, get some of that cold wintertime air. Probably about 60 degrees in South Carolina on Christmas that year. But yeah, I step out and it's Christmas night and I hear a guy in the parking lot. I see him walking around. I hear his conversation. He's on his cell phone talking to his child about what they got for Christmas and stuff. And he's in the parking lot taking a break from the strip club to have this conversation with his kid. One of the saddest things I ever saw in my entire life. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
It wasn't my father, was it?
No, it wasn't him calling you. No,
I feel you like a toy truck.
No, this guy was clearly talking like a young child about Christmas presents and Christmas and I miss you and stuff. It was the saddest. Oh, God, it's sad.
But you were there like 10 till midnight or something?
Yeah, I think, 9 to 11 or 10 to 12, one of those.
But you lived in Anderson, so again.
Yeah.
By the time you get home, it's 1 o'clock, back at it again.
So sometimes I just stay in Greenville all night, and I didn't have anywhere to go or anywhere to stay or any money for a room, so I just stay at the strip club and then go to work.
Didn't you sleep on the tiny couch in the lobby?
Yeah, several times, yeah.
Because the cleaning people knocked on the glass that time. They thought you were dead.
Yeah, they did. They did. I'm fine, Betty.
But it was people were into it. People were going out to bar. The big-ass draft nights. It was a little plastic mug that we would sell.
Yep.
And
22 ounces.
22-ounce mug you'd buy, had our faces on it and the logo and everything. Uh-huh. And then while we were there, a two-hour appearance, you could drink all the beer that you wanted to for 93 cents per mug.
Yeah.
As, you know, the bartenders were deciding all that stuff.
Yeah.
The beer was 93 cents while we were there.
Yep. The mugs, I think, were $2.50, and then the beer was 93 cents per.
I don't have any anymore.
And your $2.50 for the mug, first beer was free because you had the little tear-off ticket inside it.
I used to have a cabinet full.
Oh, me too, man. But then all the lettering and logos came peeling off and got rid of them.
Yeah. So there's a lot of living hard going on right here.
Oh, yeah.
There really is.
It ain't over with yet.
No, it's not over with yet. Sometimes the good times get the best out of you. It sounds like a Rob Inario commercial, but I say this, man. I don't know that we would have. There might have been a whole changing of the guard because there was a moment that was. I think everybody could see it on the wall.
Yeah.
There was substance abuse issues.
Oh yeah.
And lo and behold, the momentum. There was going to be. Not even a speed bump of sorts. It's going to be, we're not going to the right anymore. We're going to go to the left. We're going to try this avenue. We're going to go on this road.
Yeah. So yeah, when we get to that part, it's that part where that I kind of, it's weird because we got to wrap up here, but last time we wrapped up, I was talking about how, and I was kind of fired up about how people doubted us. Like nobody had faith in us. And now we're getting to, we're about to hit the part, the second part. 6 years in where nobody had any faith in us. Like, they thought we were going to fall on our faces. That just shows how little they knew about what went on in that studio.
Why don't you call me every morning and give this kind of motivational speech that you close the podcast with every week?
I'm telling you, man, I can feel it now in my bones how I felt then. They had no faith in us to keep it going, let alone to grow it bigger.
No, you're absolutely right. I think a good closing part, we'll pop it here. One thing to remember. I'd like to pick it up in around fall of 2008.
Okay, yeah. That's a great time to pick it up, yeah.
We'll pick it up birthday bash 2008, my father laying sick in a hospital bed dying.
Yeah.
And I'm at birthday bash.
Yep.
It had to be.
Yep.
Because it was the big radio station appearance down at Little John Coliseum.
Yeah, you don't have any choice. You got to go see Three Doors Down or Breaking Benjamin. Yeah.
And so all this is happening, and then I see another big situation down the road that's about to hit my livelihood, my personal life, and also a changing of the show.
Yeah, another big change for the Rise Guys. Who, man, it's wild that we've survived this many years. For a lot of reasons.
A bunch of them.
Bunches and bunches of reasons, yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of them.
Oh, man.
All right, so there we are. Fall of 2008, we'll pick it up there. Part three, we'll pick up the origin story of the Rise Guys morning show.
Oh, and can we tell a story about the time Booker T got molested in front of us?
You want to say that now?
No, we'll do it next time.
Okay, we'll pick it up there.
Okay.
It was around the same time,
It was around the same time, yeah. Yeah.
After Hours with the Rise Guys. Jimmy, Jackie, I appreciate you, man. That was fun.
That was fun, man. If you had a blast, had a damn ball.
Yeah, if you did as well, please spread the word. This is that grassroots thing yet again. Spread the word. Tell everybody. Share this podcast with everybody you know, and we sure would appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not pretty like Jennifer Decker. We can't just tweet it out to our million followers.
I don't even know who that is.
No, she's fine.
And I'm fine with that too.
She has a podcast on this same platform.
Same pay rate?
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. For 9, I'm Matt Mann, and that was After Hours with the Rise Guys.
We'll see you next week.
Alright. Get out. Time to close the doors on another episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other peewits. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.